Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Friday. Welcome into Fans in the Pros. Zach Strieff here with Deuce McAllister. We'll be with you till 7 o'clock tonight, breaking down all these big games this weekend. And if you are a football fan and you live in Louisiana, it doesn't get a whole lot better than this weekend. The LSU Tigers in the SEC Championship against the Georgia Bulldogs, and then the Saints with a big matchup of 10-2 teams with the San Francisco 49ers coming to town. So, Deuce, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. It's been a really interesting week. I think everybody around here feels the energy already kind of building in the city. I know that I've done a lot more interviews today than I usually do during the week, and it seems like everyone all around the country is pretty excited for this game.
You talked about just the big matchups, man. What about, you know, Southeastern?
Listen, I know. Listen, there's four state schools going at it this weekend. And yeah, Louisiana football is at an all-time high right now.
And then you got Mark was telling about, I guess that's La Tech. Louisiana is playing App State. And then we got high school. It's the
Select Championships this weekend.
And then you've got the regular playoffs that leads up to the state championships in the Dome. So, man, if you got a football fever or you got a fix and you need it, this is all for you.
This is your time. Your time to shine. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I know last week driving out, listening to Alan and Brad, who are coming up after us tonight every week, come up at 7 o'clock after Deuce and I on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup, talking about the new law in place in Louisiana now that allows state schools, the higher seed, to choose the venue.
Right.
Which is pretty interesting, and kind of see how that works out this year and see if the LHSAA sticks with that ruling. It is tough. I mean, listen, you end up, you know, if you're a kid that's in a state championship and you're like, yeah, let's go to the Superdome, and instead you're playing an away game at another team's home stadium, it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a letdown.
It's somewhat of a letdown, but, I mean, at the end of the day, if you win, you don't care. you probably prefer to celebrate at the opponent's place. I mean, it is in a sense, also, when you look at it, you know, we get to play in a dome, and that all changes a little bit. But at the end of the day, you just want to go and play at the end of
yeah,
the day.
Yeah, sure, of course. So lots of stuff, right?
And can our Pelicans win a game? It's 7 straight. You don't even want to go that
well,
direction.
No. I mean, there's no reason to get into all that negativity right now. Deuce, we just started. We're 3 minutes on the show, and Deuce already shaking the microphone.
Shaking my man.
They just can't finish a game. They can't finish. I mean, it is. You talk about what are the signs of a young team.
But
man,
still,
the inability to finish is just – it's rampant there. There's just no one on that roster right now that can finish a game. They're in every single one of them.
Well, they're in games, but then it comes when it's time to play offense. And it's not just – it can't be one-on-one. You have to run a set. And it's almost like, okay, we're going to give you ISO. And you just go and you have to try to finish, and you know they're burnt, they're spent, and so, man, you knew that first quarter, those first 20 would be tough, but at some point, you know, injuries is a part of it, but you got to finish, and it's just tough to watch that team, you know, go out and either start slow and then get back in it and then lose it at the end, or at least they're in it. And then they can't put a complete game together for anything.
And obviously all the excitement that was building for that team this year with the arrival of Zion Williamson, and then to not have him to start the season. And it certainly sounds like they're going to be extremely cautious with him. He's going to come back eventually, probably longer than you initially thought. And then, you know, they're going to be really cautious with him once he's back.
Well, he'll be on he probably won't play back-to-backs, and then he'll probably be on a minutes restriction. You know, I don't know how long, but that's what it looks like it's going to be. But and I understand that. I get it. And, you know, if your record was different, you probably may push him a little bit more. But right now, that's not the case. And so a lot of frustration. Let's just put it that way. So football better be good. I mean, because once the attention turns that way, you want them to be able to hold the attention. And right now, football is playing so well that it's kind of an afterthought.
Yeah. And football is playing well all over the state. I mean, you look at, you know, like we talked about, even the schools on the outskirts of the city, you talk about La Tech and Northwestern State and
Southeastern
and Nichols. All of these teams having good seasons, getting into the playoffs. So, yeah, it's a good time to be a football fan in the state of Louisiana. But we're going to start out, Deuce, as we always do. We're going to start breaking down this 49ers-Saints game when we come back. Lots of chatter this week. I don't know if anybody heard Bobby and Dante Whitner early in the week. I had a conversation with Dante Whitner on the radio this morning on the San Francisco channel. A lot of animosity out there. I don't know what Dante Whitner's problem is. He's still upset about something, and they won the game. I don't know. Maybe it's because they lost and he doesn't have a Super Bowl ring. I may or may not have reminded him about that while we were on the phone. But we'll start breaking down this game. It's going to be a good one when we come back. You're listening to Fans and the Pros here on WWL. Bro, he was awful. Deuce, I'm sure many a nights you got chased out of a bar in college listening to this, huh?
Maybe some current nights. Not just college nights.
Tuesday, yeah, Wednesday.
Maybe some current nights.
As every week, I'll tell you, you know, we've had good weeks and bad weeks this year with the music, right, dude? Some places it's just hard. It's a we're struggling to come up with something.
True.
This is not one of those weeks.
No.
Boy, there's a lot of good stuff on this list out of San Francisco. We got lots to choose from, so that'll be good. I'm looking forward to that. All right. It's time to start breaking this game down a little bit, and I think if you're going to talk about the San Francisco 49ers, you have to start on this defensive front.
Yeah. Well, and to touch on something, a lot of people, I know we've got a couple texts, and San Francisco played at Baltimore last week. San Francisco stayed on the East Coast. They went to Florida, actually. They practiced at IMG.
Yeah.
They were in Bradenton this past week. So I imagine if they're not here today, they'll be in first thing in the morning, you know, coming over to New Orleans. And more than likely, they may have a light walkthrough in the Superdome. But for them, they save probably, what, 8.5, 9 hours? Roughly flight time.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you save a lot of swelling after the game. The flight is certainly a lot shorter. It gives you listen. There's a lot of good reasons to stay. They did it earlier in the year before they played Cincinnati. Went out there early. It's a good way to kind of galvanize your team and get them away, and it removes all of those distractions, all the realities of home. Right, like these guys go to practice, they go home. Well, their wife wants them to take out the trash just like your wife wants you to take out the trash. There's all that kind of stuff. So it's good. I think it's certainly a smart thing to do for them, especially coming off of the stretch that they've had, right? I mean, it's the first team in NFL history to play three straight teams with a winning percentage over 80% this late in the season. So it's a tough stretch of games. And, yeah, so they've been in Bradenton. They'll come over here soon. When you look at this front – and it's interesting. I played some of these guys. So DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead were both there the last time we were in San Francisco. Now, that was a very different football team in 2016 than this one is now. Dee Ford, we played in Kansas City. You know, the kind of wild card that, you know, we don't know is Nick Bosa.
Correct.
The rookie out of Ohio State who's had an outstanding season. If you want to think about the structure of this team, this is essentially – This is the Seattle Seahawks when they were at their prime on the back end, and the Detroit Lions when we played them in the playoffs in the front. So it's an over team now. They've really eliminated under from this, and really that's Seattle played an under. San Francisco doesn't like their ends to get covered up. They know they've got talent out there. They want those guys to have space to work. They list Eric.
Explain that to fans.
Okay, so where to start? All right.
Here's the reality.
Here's the reality of it is when you play an over defense, the defense is in your mind maybe shifted to the strength of your offense.
Correct.
So to your right, you're going to have the three technique, which is usually a better pass rushing defensive tackle. He's going to be outside the guard. In an over defense, the end on that side is going to be all the way outside everything. So the term wide nine comes up a lot. And so if you think back to, you know, when they were doing it in Detroit, it was Vanden Bosch and Cliff Averill were really those two guys. So they're going to move him way out there. They're going to give him space. They're going to give him nice, big, long running starts into offensive linemen.
Simeon Rice.
Yes, exactly. And then the backside is a little bit more reduced. So you're going to get a shade on the backside, or maybe you get a one. Maybe they'll play an even front. So it's going to be just off the center to the backside, or maybe inside of the guard on the backside. And another nine technique. They're going to play this four-man front, right? So when you get into under, it looks like a five-man front. You're going to drop a linebacker down, and that defensive end that is now
– tightens up.
Yeah, he tightens up on the play side. And then the front side defensive tackle gets reduced as well. So you looks like you have three guys on the strength of the formation because you add a linebacker to the line of scrimmage. And then on the backside, it's loosened up. So you have the three or outside of the guard with the defensive tackle and then the defensive end outside.
Yeah, and so it basically starts, you know, when you're counting a defense for, you know, for our just learning football fans, it starts as a zero. You know, and that's
head up on the center.
And then you have the one that's called, you know, one is he's cocked. He's normally, when I say cocked, he may be turned sideways or he slides over just a little bit. And that's on left and right sides. And it just goes just like that. It goes, you know, zero, one, two, three. And that's kind of the positions and numbers that Zach and I are talking about. And, you know, wide nine, that's basically a guy that's all the way outside. He's not lined up on the tackle or the tight end, he's outside, you know, leverage, or he's the outside or the force guy on the defensive line.
And so when you look at this group and you look at, you know, what their depth chart looks like, Eric Armstead is listed as a defensive end. DeForest Buckner is listed as a defensive tackle. They bring DJ Jones in to play defensive tackle in the base, but we're not going to see him in the base a whole lot.
Nope.
I think what the Saints will want to do, and it's just kind of, it's not even about what the 49ers do, it's more based on what
the Saints want to do
is live this game in more of a nickel situation. So you're gonna bring in a sub. You're gonna have more receivers, more running backs. You're not gonna bring in a fullback, which we don't know that the Saints even have for this football game again. And then Nick Bosa is gonna come in play defensive end. You're gonna have Dee Ford and Nick Bosa as your defensive ends, and DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead as the inside defensive tackles. And there for me is the weakness in this defense. DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead are good football players.
They're long. They're big, though.
They're both 6'7".
Yeah, they're long.
Both of them are 6'7". Both of them are explosive athletes. Both of them played – I think both of them are true old-school 3-4 head-up defensive ends, right?
Yeah.
So that would be what I think in another
system
era, that's kind of where they would sit, right? Those guys are both explosive. Right, both high draft picks. I think Armstead was a top five pick, and Buckner was like 17. They're both high picks.
And Armstead, this is a contract year for him.
And he's got 10 sacks, so he's leading them in sacks. That's not an accident usually. So DeForest Buckner last year had 12 sacks from the defensive tackle position. But both of those guys are high cut. They're long. Those guys struggle versus power schemes.
Correct.
Because when you get two guys on them, at the end of the day, it is hard to win a leverage battle when you're 6'7".
You're 6'7".
I lived in that world my entire career. It's hard to get under somebody when you're 6'7". Both of those guys are going to have that problem. That is, now, they both live in that world. They both have to find ways around it, and they both clearly have. That doesn't mean that they want to line up and take on 15 double teams during this football game, because that is not what they're made to do, right? Now, you get into the passing game with those guys, and you're basically running four defensive ends across your front with the two inside guys able to stop the run because they're big dudes, right? Every week we come in and we talk about the game plan, and I know for me it always is like this, so I don't want this to turn into a cliche where it loses all of its effect when we say it. More than any game this year, if the Saints don't run the football, this is going to be a long afternoon.
We can't have 11 total rushes in this game.
Nope.
We probably can't have 11 total rushes in the first half.
Nope.
That doesn't bode well if that's what we have.
No. You got to find a way to hit body blows on this defense. Mm-hmm. Here's what's good. I think that 10 years ago, this group was less equipped, this group being the Saints, and you know, Deuce, we were 10 years ago –
I was just wrapping up.
You were just finishing up. Yeah. I was getting going. We were less equipped to do this. We didn't like doing this, which was line up, win an ugly, physical, old-school football game.
It's okay for 3 yards. Three yards is a positive in this type of game.
Yes.
It's okay to get just, oh, man, that's an ugly run. It's only 2 yards. It's 3 yards. It's okay.
It's a battle of attrition this week. Mm-hmm. So when you're playing a defense like this, I'm not saying don't throw the football. The Saints are going to throw the football. They're going to throw the football more than they run the football. That's fine. Right? It's okay. However, you have to run the football so when this game comes down to the fourth quarter, and it will, you have been physically beating this front up for 3 quarters. They have been dealing with things they don't want to deal with. They will have been taking knees on double teams and absorbing punishment, right? You want your offensive line to be going forward this whole game. So when you get to the fourth quarter, it's easier to go backwards. Because when push comes to shove, this team's going to throw the football. The Saints are going to throw the football. When you need to win, when you need the drive, what do? You put it in your best player's hands. You hand the ball to Drew Brees and say, go throw the ball to Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara down the field. That's what they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they haven't established a physical dominance when that time comes, I think it's going to be very hard to win the game.
I agree with you. I mean, the blueprint is there.
Yeah.
And the blueprint, and I'm sorry, Baltimore did win, but that's not the blueprint for the Saints.
No, it's a totally different.
You can steal maybe a formation, you know, maybe something that I can, off of this play, I see a look that we want to add, but that's not the blueprint for the Saints. And so you have to go and figure out who beat this team, where did they struggle? Now can I go and find that on film again? And so what Seattle did, why did they struggle against this team? When Arizona gave them trouble, not the quarterback runs, but why did they struggle against Arizona? Now they came back and beat them, but I'm just saying, you know, why did they struggle against XYZ team? That's what we have to make sure that, A, we either are doing that or we can do what we do at a high level and make this team struggle as well.
The Seattle Seahawks ran the ball 34 times.
Mm-hmm.
They threw the ball 34 times. Listen, Chris Carson in that game had 25 carries for 89 yards.
That's okay. As a running back, I hate the average, but we were successful in what we did.
At the end of the day, it came down to needing a drive late. And if you watch that game, really, I thought San Francisco's defense played outstanding in that football game. But when they needed it, Seattle could move the football at the end of the game. And that's what this game is going to be about. You're going to need to get 73 offensive plays in this football game, 75 offensive
48,
plays.
48, 49 won't cut it.
You're going to have to convert third downs. You look at that game, Seattle was 7 of 15 on third down. You're going to need to be in that 45-50% range. Mm-hmm. You need to physically beat this team with your offense, right? We'll talk about our defense and the challenges that they have. But in my opinion, this game is about are you winning the turnover ratio? Are you converting third downs? Are you controlling the clock by running the football?
And maybe the turnover ratio there for me, you can lose a turnover ratio and I think still beat this game. Now, it can't be 2-0, but I think you can be -1 and still win this football game, but you got to do those other two things that you talked about. You can't lose the time of possession and you can't be at 30%, 32%, 33%. You've got to be in 40. You got to be at 40%, and then you've got to hit in the red zone. You know, this is a game where you have to be 3 or 4 in the red zone. You cannot, you know, settle for field goals against this team. If you get down in the red zone, you got to get 6. You cannot come away with 3. It cannot happen, because as we go into talking about that defensive side, what you have to do to them, you have to make them play from behind. You can't allow them to control the tempo and run the football, and now they can run boots on you. They can, you know, move the quarterback, do some different things because they're running the football. You have to make this team kind of play from behind. You have to.
Yeah, and there's no question. This team is all – they're built offensively around the running game.
Correct.
Like every stretch zone team is ever, right? There's never been a good stretch zone team that wasn't built around – the running game, and then play action off of it. And that's what Kyle Shanahan is. When the Atlanta Falcons offensively were playing at their peak, at their best, when they lost the Super Bowl, when they were winning by 28 to 3 with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. I just saw a sign while I was coming off the interstate today. It reminded me of that. I not to bring up old wounds, but when the Falcons blew a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl, they were, that's who they were.
Correct.
They were running this stretch zone scheme at a high level. They were running play action off of it, and they were a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was a more talented offense, a lot more talented offense than this offense is.
Correct.
But I think Kyle Shanahan has a good formula, and I think it has worked for them, and they've done a good job of running it. But I also think that the Saints have the personnel defensively to combat that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to run the football in the Saints. It's not. Now,
one team did it well, and it was kind of a look that they had not seen, and the Saints just were poor that game overall.
Yeah, and the whole game was bad. Both sides of the ball was bad,
yeah.
Right? I mean, and listen, that's been the calling, the rallying cry of every national pundit that I've heard for a week is, hey, they're both 10-2, but the Saints lost to the Falcons, and they're terrible, mm-hmm. and San Francisco's only lost to these two good teams. Well, they've only played three good teams, maybe four, if you count the Rams.
Now, depends on when you caught the Rams.
It sure does. The Rams threw for 48 yards in that game. Think about that.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about. This defense, four times this year, I've held teams to under 100 yards passing. Try to process that. Four times, including three in a row, held teams to under 100 yards passing. In today's NFL, with every single rule created
for
to
offense.
Make sure people can move the ball offensively, they've held four teams under 100 yards passing.
You should have 100 yards in a quarter.
And you know how that's happened?
That front four.
They eat people alive. When you are outmatched up front, this defense is not going to give you underneath stuff. They're going to compress the field,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to basically say, you're not going to have enough time
to throw
a ball over our heads.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's basically what they're saying. They don't have the Earl Thomas of the Seattle Seahawks that can play down
range,
and still cover a deep three. They don't have that guy.
No.
That guy's not on this defense.
No.
But that front four in those games, when they are winning with their front four like they have in those games, there is nothing that anybody has done to do anything to that team in the passing game. I do think the Saints are a lot better equipped in their offensive line than those teams were. The L.A. Rams have been a disaster this year because of their offensive line.
Letting a couple guys go, and then you're playing some rookies.
And you're getting old.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I love Andrew Whitworth. He is my guy. He's from my draft class.
By the time, going to catch all of us.
It catches up eventually, right? All right. We'll keep the conversation going. Shoot us some questions if you have them on the text line, 870-870, and we will get to the phone lines eventually here, 504-260-1870. What do you got, Mark?
As we go to break, our sports director, Christian Garrick, has some audio that he says that you need to hear.
Okay. All right. We got some audio from Christian Garrick.
Oh! I
love it. That's Bobby Hebert's Chewbacca. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. We'll go to break. This is Fans and the Pros on WWL. Third Eye Blind? Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. San Francisco week.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll play the jingle to what was it? Rice-a-roni. What's the San Francisco treat?
Yeah, Rice-a-roni.
Rice-a-roni.
The San Francisco treat.
I haven't seen Rice-a-roni in a while. I wonder if that's still around.
Do they still give it away on The Price is Right? They used to be like every day.
I don't know. I haven't looked for it in a while. Let's start checking out.
I haven't watched Price is Right in a while because I haven't been home sick in a while.
Welcome back to Fans and the Pros. Deuce and I breaking down all the big games this weekend till 7 o'clock tonight. We're going to jump on the phone lines here, get an idea of what you guys are thinking about. Let's go to Mac in La Place. Mac, welcome to Fans and the Pros.
Hey, guys. Man, I just really enjoy hearing you guys break down the game and put it into terms that we can understand. That is awesome. But a couple of quick comments. First of all, that 49ers running back who thought the Superdome is a neutral site. I'm hoping that athletic arrogance is throughout the whole entire team because I know 49ers have not experienced success in the last couple of years. So So there's a little bit of lack of maturity, I think, on the team, and that might overshadow some of the things that are going on. So hopefully they can come in being really overconfident and just letting their guard down, and we can really expose them for who they are. And I also want to see Jared Cook get the winning touchdown in the last few seconds, just like Vernon Davis did to us in 2011. I hope that happens.
I would like that, Mac. You ain't lying. That was a hard moment in my life watching Vernon Davis catch that football. Yeah, Mac, listen, I think a lot of people at this point have heard Raheem Mostert's statement about, you know, coming into the Voodoo Dome. First of all, I'm going to defend him, and then I'm going to undefend him. The Voodoo Dome part was in the question. So the host of the show said, you know, you're going to the Voodoo Dome, and he just kind of stole it from him. And I think in his brain, Deuce, he's sitting there saying to himself, I'm gonna give props to my fans, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give my props out here to the San Francisco fans. Now, I will tell you this. I've played in both of those stadiums. When they were in Candlestick, it was the most brutal crowd I think that I ever played in, to the point where like the people that came to that game left that game before the game was over. I had somebody have a jacket ripped off of them at that game. Like, I'm not talking like these are good fans. They're so loud. It wasn't like anything unusual.
That
in
was a bad, bad crowd. They fought.
It was bad. Yeah. I mean, it was like we came to a football game to get into a fight, which was very strange. And then I played in the new stadium, which is like playing a football game on like Apple's new campus, right? Like, it probably had the least amount of character of any place that I ever played. It's very nice. It was very big and open, and there were very few people at that football game. However, he's going to come out and say, hey, we got great fans. They tell us all to say that all the time, right? I mean, it's important to support your fans the way they support you. But you talk about a stupid comment during a big week. I guarantee you that there's some veteran on that team like, why? Why you got to make it harder? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what did we gain by you calling out their fans and claiming it's going to be a home game?
Well, and he's never played here.
He's never played here before. But there are guys on that team that have, and those guys are sitting there going, why?
What do you?
Richard Sherman saying, why, man? What's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Why give him a reason, right?
But for Sherman, he's on defense, so
he doesn't have to deal with it.
Yeah,
right.
It's the offensive guys, you know, that are the ones that are thinking, particularly up front. I mean, you talk about having to live in a silent camp. That's what you're going to have to do. And, you know, you talk about even having to, at a point, maybe signal in some because the quarterback can't hear. And, you know, it's the atmosphere should be amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm so excited. I just, you know, walking into that stadium on these types of games is like the greatest feeling ever, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there is so much juice and energy in there. You can't help it, right? I mean, you really can't, no matter what it is you're doing, whether you're the fan, whether you're a player or a coach or a broadcaster. I already told my wife, I'm going to have to severely curtail my normal coffee intake.
I might have to give you some NyQuil to go to sleep.
Right, because I'm going to be so jacked up before the game. I mean, I'll lose my voice in the second quarter if I drink the normal amount of caffeine that I usually do before that game. Deuce would be holding me in the chair.
I'm going to just let you go.
It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. So thank you for the call, Mac. We appreciate the comments. We will jump back onto the phone lines, get some more thoughts from you guys when we come back. Give us a call, 504-260-1870. Text us at 870-870. Also, our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Who needs to have the biggest game for the Saints to win? Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Mike Thomas, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, or Marshawn Lattimore? Let us know. We'll continue to break down this matchup, maybe give you some insight into what we think about that. Fans and the Pros rolls on here on WWL. So if anybody listened through that commercial break, you're all thinking the same thing that I'm thinking.
We really going to do this?
Everybody's wondering, is Deuce really getting Botox for the holiday season? I need to know. Do you want to touch up, Deuce?
Don't we have
You look great, man. You look like a young man.
Don't we have an event tomorrow?
Yeah. That's what you gotta get. That's what it's for. You gotta get right. I love it.
I'm about to choke myself. We have an event tomorrow with the Super Bowl trophy.
Yeah. Are you afraid that, like, the reflection of your face ain't going to look right with the Botox? It's got to be cleaned, tightened it up a little bit.
It's got to be clean, tight, and ready.
Man, I didn't realize that. I don't know if I can get that scheduled by tomorrow. You could have at least included me.
Hey, man, it's the holiday season. I may come in with a checkered jacket on. A little red, a little green, you know.
I love it.
A little red, green.
Gosh, that's...
festive season.
That is so amazing. I hope you come in tomorrow and I hope I get to see some Botox. Bro, if you look swollen when you walk in there tomorrow, I'm not be able to make it through the event.
If my eyebrow is arched.
What is wrong with you?
You know.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right, don't forget our WWL Blue and Gumbo opinion poll. Who needs to have the biggest game for the Saints to win? Breeze, Kamara, Thomas, Jordan, Davis, or Lattimore? Give us a call, 504-260-1870. Text us 870-870. We're going to get into this San Francisco offense versus Saints defense when we come back. If you're on the line, hang on. We'll get to you. This is Fans and the Pros on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.